prophecies that God gave Jesus a name that is above every name, that at the mention of it, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And that is what we have come tonight to do, to lift up his name. He says, when we lift up that name at the end, that he will draw men to himself, that he may draw us to himself today, as we have come at the feet of the Master, as we have chosen that which the Bible says that is a needful thing. Father, we just want to thank you. We glorify your name today. The name, O God, that is a strong tower to us. You say the righteous runs into it and is safe. Thank you for that name that saved us, the name that delivered us, the name for the reason wherewith we stand. Lord, we have not come in the name of any man. We have not come in the name of our nation. We have not come in the name of our families. We have come in the name of the Lord, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. We have come in that name, even before the very presence of the Lord today. And we say thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for all that you have been doing for us. Thank you, O God, for your great miracle. The testimony of the Lord has been mighty in the midst of your people. Father, we say let your name be exalted tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we ask that you take control of this atmosphere. And you alone will reign and will rule over every flesh, over every spirit, over everything here in present, O God. Thank you because we know that you have chosen this day to bring us to your house. Thank you for this appointment we have with you, an appointment with your word. Lord, for each and every one of us here in present, we pray that that word will come forth to us today to meet us at our point of need in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, we pray that your spirit himself will teach us and will instruct us in the way of righteousness today. Father, we thank you for even those who are not here. We just want to thank you for your hand upon their lives. And whoever, Lord, is on his way, we pray that God will hasten their steps in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray that you will continue to remind us of the essence as you have commanded in your word, that seeing the day approaches, that we should not, O God, in any way, O God, forsake the gathering of the brethren together. Father, we pray your hand will be upon each and every one of us in the name of Jesus. Blessed be your name, for in Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God for his mercies, bringing us all here today after our special Sunday encounter. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, how many of us are still having hangover from that experience? I raise up my hand. Praise the Lord. It's always like that. You know, when you have not done something for a while, if you do it, your muscles will tell you, okay, I send you. Praise the Lord. But it's a worthwhile thing to, you know, be, you know, in the midst of brethren. And we had a wonderful time. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I know we're going to have a great time tonight. Let's open our Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. Oh, no, 4, not 6. So we're going to be talking about something that we're all very familiar with, and which is something we all experience now and then, and hopefully not every day. Did you hear what I said? Hopefully not every day, but now and then we experience it. So we would read the scripture and we'll go out, tell us what we are sharing tonight. Ephesians chapter 4. 4:25-32, it says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Our emphasis is on that 26 and 27. It says, let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hand what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I asked us just now if some of us are still having hangover. Some of us didn't raise their hands, but I'm not hearing our voices again. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So today we are going to talk about anger. Anger. Praise the Lord. See, that's why I said we experience it now and then, but I hope not every day, shall. If it's every day, there's a problem, and that's what we want to talk about today. And that should not be our daily experience at all. So, I would like to define what it means first as we go ahead. Hopefully we have the time to do all this talking. So I looked at, you know, the Association of Psychiatrists, American Association of Psychiatrists, the way they defined it. They say it's an emotion characterized by antagonism to someone or something you feel deliberately have done you wrong. So let's take note of the words they were using. And we're going to find out when the Bible was talking about in that verse 26. Does it mean that kind of anger that we're defining now? Is it the same anger that he's talking about? Or does he mean another one? So let us know which one. And that's what we're just trying to unravel. So I say that again. It says it's an emotion, the way you feel, characterized by antagonism. You want to antagonize somebody or something you feel is deliberately hurting you, or you feel wrong by that person. You're antagonizing the person. And that comes out in different manifestation, the way we express it. Praise the Lord. And we're going to look at it, the different kind of, you know, manifestation, how we express anger when it comes. So, but we know that this emotion has been there right from the beginning of Scripture. Amen. You don't have to search too far. Open Genesis chapter 4. Immediately you find one. Genesis 4 verse 5. You just find one. Who? Cain. And the Bible says that he was so angry with his brother to the extent that he killed him. And he became the first murderer in history because of uncontrolled anger. He couldn't control that emotion. Anger can be very explosive, very destructive, if not properly channeled and controlled. Praise the Lord. And if you cross to the other book of the Bible, Exodus, you see one immediately. Who was that? Moses. Chapter 2, verse 12, Exodus. And what happened? He was not very happy with what was going on with the children of Israel. And God had made him know of where he belonged, that he doesn't belong to the Egyptians. And his son, Egyptian man, and killed. he did not deal with that anger. After 40 years, the anger manifested itself again. In Numbers chapter 20, verse 11 to 12. And what happened? God said, just tell that rock, speak to the rock, because the children of Israel were complaining the fact that they didn't have water. Speak to the rock. And what did Moses do? Use his rod and struck the rock 2 times. Shall we give you water from this rock? And God was not very happy. God says, because you did not sanctify me before the people, you did not demonstrate, let God demonstrate his power before them by talking to the rock, you will never see the promised land. And these are some of the things that are possible if we cannot manage any anger issues we have, or when they manifest themselves. And one thing is very certain, it's a matter of when, no, it's not if. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Except you have gone to glory, that's when somebody will not trigger you, or something will not trigger you and make you become upset. That's even a good word to describe it. You say you're upset. Praise the Lord. An American will say, I'm mad. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we discover that it is so common, particularly in our time in America here, that people are so short-fused that little thing will make them become angry. We've heard about road rage. Now, people will be driving. They've never met themselves before. From nowhere, this one became angry. They got down. They fought. One person carried gun, shot the other one. The other one shot. In fact, it's so common, particularly in states where, you know, carrying arms is like, you know, legal. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And how many times have we caught ourselves at times when we are driving? Somebody cuts you off on the lane. God help us if we cause so. I pray we don't do that. But at times I've caught myself honking my horn. No, that's not good. It's an expression of your anger too. Amen. You are expressing it. Because you cannot cause, you decide to honk your horn for the person. I caught myself doing that. And when it happens like that, I get a conviction in my heart that is not the right thing I'm supposed to do. See, that is one thing we should always trust God to have, to still feel when we cross the line, to still have that note that tells you, look, you are not doing the right thing. But when it comes to a point where you don't feel it again, you just curse, you say the kind of language that the people of the world say as well, please, oh, there's something going on there. You have to deal with it. Praise the Lord. And particularly for those of us who are married, you need not to go far for you to have somebody who can press that trigger for you. Brother P, amen. Pastor Mo, amen. So you need not to go far. There's somebody inside there who will bring it out, and you would be able to say whether you are the kind of man who will not become angry. You see, when people tell you, oh, I don't get angry, look, check him very well, though. He has an explosive anger. It's not real. Anybody who refuses to acknowledge that there's an issue with that, but it takes God to bring you to a point where you now become spirit controlled, you're able to control it when it comes. And we're going to look at, you know, those now and then. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we know that, you see, the Bible warns us of this emotion several times. I've just glossed through it quickly. See, Ecclesiastes 7 verse 9, you see what the Bible was talking about, the fact that it says you know, anger rests in the bosom of a fool. And who does the Bible describe as a fool? A man who says there's no God. That's what the Bible describes him. It says he who says there's no God is a fool. And just imagine the Bible describe a man who does not have control over his anger, that is a fool. I don't want to bear that kind of title. Because in effect, he's telling me that I don't know God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And James chapter 1, you know, 19 to 20 says we should be slow to anger. And Jesus even went further. Matthew chapter 5, 21, where he said something that was so profound. Talks about the fact that if somebody has an anger issue with his brother, a very serious one, he says that man is worse than a murderer. So you see, the Bible warns us of it. He knows these things will happen. These things will come to pass. And the Bible warns us of each and every one of them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I want to ask us a question now as we go ahead. So how do people react when they get angry? We have not looked at our passage yet, so we're going to go there soon. So how do we react when you get angry? See, I'm this kind of person. I'm so quiet. Let me use myself. I can be very quiet. At times, when I'm angry, then I'll just become quiet and I'll just sulk and just melt away from the scene. But it doesn't happen like that all the time. Praise the Lord. There's sometimes, if it happens once, twice, there's going to be a threshold when I will not just absorb the scene and melt away. Because it has been there, it will come out, bam. And I will tell you your life history there and then. Praise the Lord. I remember something happened when I was serving. So my boss, he's a brother. He was a patron in our Christian fellowship then. And I was working for him, you know, in the pharmacy. And it happened that, you know, we had a little bit of misunderstanding. He doesn't get pleased. You do anything, no way. You can't please this brother. What will I do again? Sell my hand for you? And I just kept absorbing the whole thing on and on and on. He will come, he will say everything, say this, say that, say this. I won't say anything. Until one day, and it was even a Christmas, the night before a Christmas day. And I lived not too far from the pharmacy, so I just went to the house quickly to drop some things I bought. And he came while I was not there. And as soon as I came, he said, tell Mike to come and see me. And Mike came to see him. I knew what he was going to do, and I was ready for him. Praise the Lord. And he came and he started talking. Before he could finish, I gave him back. And at the end, I wrote him a strong letter like this. And the wife told me, say, look, never write a letter when you are angry again. It is too strong. And that's a lesson. When you are angry, don't say anything. Don't write any letter. There are some words you say, you will regret that you ever said it. You will regret, why did I say this thing? You shouldn't have said it. At the spur of the moment then, adrenaline is high. You want to defend yourself. I must defend myself. I must say everything I need to say. But it doesn't work like that, being a child of God. It's not a matter of who wins the fight. The battle will continue after that fight. Praise the Lord. So, that is me. Amen. Hallelujah.
To calm down your anger. For me as a person, I don't waste time. That's just my principle in life. I don't waste time. You say it, I say my own. I don't care who you are or where you are taking it to. I'm just going to let you know I'm not your boy boy. So something that happened in 1995. I got a job in Harlem. And my boss was this woman. She was so skinny. I have never met a woman like that. it was as if she was actually just sent to me. There's nothing that I do right. Everything is always wrong. I was on the train with her. I was sitting next to her. We were late, both to work. I went into my own building. She went to her own building. And then she called me. And she said, Mo, you are just coming to work. I'm like, yes. She's like, okay. You know you are late. I'm like, yes, but you saw me. It's like, that's not what I'm saying. You are late. I said, okay. She said, so you need to write yourself up. So because in that company, they have what they call, you have to write yourself up, and then you have to train yourself. So you write yourself up for coming late. Then you have to train yourself and state how you train and make sure it doesn't repeat itself. So I went in. At this point, brethren, I was crying. I was crying. You know, it was tears that I was using to type the whole stuff. After I was done, I trained myself. She said, have you done that? I said, yes. She said, go and clock out and go home. I said, what? Clock out and go home. I said, Regina, you came late. She said, you are now being rude. This is the problem with Africans. You can't follow simple instruction. Go home. I left that place all the way to the train station crying. I said, I was now saying, is it me that is quiet, that couldn't even utter a word? Is it me? So I went home, and I got home. My wife saw me. She said, I wasn't saying. She said, Sita, what's up? I said, don't disturb me. I don't want to talk. And then the following week, I went back there, and they said, the company is having problem, you know, and so the last to come, they didn't even need to end it. I said, here is my letter. I am not coming back tomorrow. And God so have it, because as soon as I walked out, I said, if I was to come across that lady, but no. And I was sharing with Daddy 2 weeks ago. This lady and her boss were charged for stealing money. You know, so to be honest with you, sir, it was from that place that I learned to be quiet. And so, no matter what you do to me now, I will just tell you, it is well. It is well. My wife gets angry with me because, like, she's saying, and I don't say anything. Pastor, won't you say anything? And I always remind her, if I utter a word, you remind me that I'm a pastor. So let me shut up my mouth. Because you will soon remind me that I'm a pastor. And I'm not supposed to be talking like, so guess what? Let me be what? Be quiet. So, like you said, sir, we deal with it every day of our life. The question is, how do you control yourself? That's the key thing there. And I think that is what triggers a lot of people, that they take some of this thing to the extreme. It's you live in an environment that every day people are willing. In fact, some people, once they know that you are a person that gets angry easily, they do things to put, particularly in places of work in this country, the moment they know, and that's one of the things I always tell my children, I am not sending you to school to be a bully, but don't let anybody ride you. Because the moment they know that this thing tips you off and you are a crying baby, trust me, they will keep repeating it. So the Lord will help us. It's a strong thing. We just need God's grace. And I know it will help us in Jesus' name.
The Lord. I don't know if anyone has ever been tormented, I use that word, tormented by the spirit of anger, inherited spirits of anger that have run in your generation, like 10 generations back before you were born, if you have ever been tormented by that spirit called anger, you know what I'm talking about when I try to explain it. Once something happens and that anger sets in, the devil appears. You know what he does? It's like you're writing a letter, and in your head the words are coming. He's giving you words to say. It's like, say this, say that, say that, say that. And like my brother said, when you're angry, don't talk. Don't write. Don't email. Because if you do, everything you're writing is what the devil is giving you. And it's going to be fire at the end of it. In fact, after the whole thing, if you go back to read that thing, you will not believe that you wrote them. It's the same thing when you're talking to. There was a day I got up in the church, I asked pastor, I said, why is it that when somebody's, even though somebody's born again spirit filled, the person still have anger? Why does the spirit of anger not go? Even the answer he gave me, I was not satisfied, because he said, oh, that is to humble you, make you know that you are a human being. I said, it's not enough. That's not what the Bible says. So these things are the things that happen every day. But then, pastor has said, crying. These days, before, when I'm angry, my whole body will be shaking like this. If I touch her, I told her I carried my daughter, who was 1 year. I just carried half of her, flung her into the garden. She came out with blood. Since that day, I said, I will not beat you when I'm angry. And then, God started helping me. But now, even if I don't, God will just help me. I will not explode when the thing is boiling in my heart. I won't. I will control it. But once I go back, I'm going to weep. I'm going to cry. Because if I don't cry, it will still be there. I will go to cry and cry it out. Because I cannot talk. If I talk, that time I'm angry, you will say, you swear this is not my mommy wants to. But thank God for grace. These things that we are still battling with it. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's completely free. May God deliver us, because it's not good. Sometimes it shows up between you and your husband. Before you say, ta, you say, two.
Strongest lesson. Praise the Lord. I only just wanted to give an example, but we're already contributing. Okay, Brother Shola.
Praise God. I'll just give an example.
No, we have not even started the
very
our lesson.
Anger humbling moment for me. So when I finished secondary school, I was pretty independent growing up. So immediately I finished secondary school, I got a job as a teacher. And I was teaching students. I wasn't even angry. My anger wasn't at the children. So when the end of it was Christmas time, and the proprietor refused to pay salary. And I was angry. Because it was my first job. I'd not experienced that before. Why would I said, of all the months not to pay salary, Christmas. That's crazy. So I was the one leading the revolution among the teachers. I was so angry. I knew that the proprietor was in the next room. But I was talking with so much anger with all the other teachers. I said, let's also walk out. So I was talking so angrily. The event passed. The man heard, he didn't say anything to me. The January when we resumed, he called me to his office, said that everything I said, he heard it, and he's not happy about it. I was still angry. I said, but what he did is also not justified. That is a new year. How can you carry my salary from last year into this new year? I was young, I was just talking. And then he said, even me, I'm not ready to work. I'm not ready to work anymore. Just give me my salary and let me go. So he counted how much was my salary? 5,000. That's how I was angry because of 5,000. So he counted my 5,000 and gave it to me, and I left. I thought that was the end of it, right? A couple of years after, that was in 2004. In 2006, a couple of me and my friends started up a music group. And we started singing from church to church. And the church where those people were majorly from, because I was attending my dad's church, it was a redeemed church we were using to 2 hour rehearsal. Guess who was going to authorize where we were going to use for the rehearsal? That same man. So it wasn't, and he did not even say that he wasn't going to approve our using the church for rehearsal, but I was too ashamed to even face him, to even go up to the altar to sing, because I was just carrying that guilt of how I spoke to him that time. And of course, I was older, I was more exposed, I was more matured. I was not thinking in retrospect about it. If I had known, there are many other ways to have handled that situation. I could have just even gone up to him and spoken to him directly and told him, I need my salary, because I actually needed the salary for something, no doubt. But there would have been a better way to handle it. And it was really humbling for me. I just thought it would be good to share.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I think the Bible really mentioned, be angry and sin not. And sin not. When anger becomes uncontrollable, that is where you have to take time.
Daddy, it's like you are going into a lesson.
Okay, let me keep
talking. Hold on. Don't go.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So I was only just trying to make us to look at, you know, the way we express our anger. You know, everybody has his own way. You know, some would hold it like me. Pastor would speak. Mommy would hide her own deep down. You know, differently. But we are going to trust God, you know, to help us to how we can deal with it. That is just the issue with anger. You need to deal with it. If you hide it, one day it will surface. So praise the Lord. So from that scripture we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26-27. So 26, and where Paul was talking about, it says, be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. So, you see, we need to understand one thing here, what the Bible is trying to talk about here. And we have described anger as an emotion. And if you look at it, there are times it's not a good thing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's not a good thing. And at times, like what our brother said, when you let it fly off the handle, you regret it later on. So, why is the Bible talking about a fact that there is a kind of anger that is not classified as sin? That's what we want to look at now. What kind of anger the Bible will classify as not sin? Remember the way we defined it when we started. We said it is an emotion characterized by an antagonism to somebody or something you feel that has deliberately done you wrong. And now Paul is now talking about something that there is a kind of sin. That is a kind of anger that is not sin. So let's look at it. Let's see John chapter 2, verse 14 to 15. Femi, if you could just put that up on the screen there for me. So, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. Praise the Lord. Who can guess who was this person displaying some special traits? Who was that? Jesus himself. Kai, and you say, what is going on with this with Jesus now? How come he's displaying this kind of traits? Praise the Lord. So I'm just using that as to try to explain the anger that Paul was trying to talk about that is not classed as sin. And if we know the background of what was going on in that scripture, what was really happening, the priests and the Pharisees entered into an agreement with all the merchants. They were selling sheep and goats and other animals for sacrifice inside the temple, in the courts of the Gentiles, they were there, and they agreed with them, keep these animals, which we ourselves have certified that they are worthy to be used for sacrifice. And when people come, if we don't like their animal, we will tell them that they need to buy from you guys. And this one, at an exorbitant rate, no competition. And that was exactly what was happening. And there was an injustice against the people. And more still, the place that the Gentiles, who could not go into the place where the Jews themselves could worship, they don't have a place of worship again. And Jesus came to seek and to save those that were lost. Not just only the children of promise. But at that point in time, they had denied them of that opportunity of coming to God's house. So it was not about him. Every anger we talk about is about us. And that's why, you see, when we define it, I feel somebody did me wrong. I feel you crossed the line. That's the way I felt. I feel you didn't talk to me well. It's about me. But it was not about Jesus that he was fighting about. He was jealous about God's righteousness. That this was a sin against God. In a house of God, my house will be called the house of prayer, not the den of thieves. And there was injustice against the people too. And Jesus saw it as something that was an anomaly. And he wanted to rectify it. He was not going after the people. Let's take a look at it. No. He wanted to clear the place where the Gentiles were supposed to worship and send every one of them out. He was not after them. No. And that kind of demonstration of a righteous anger for the things of God, that is what Paul was trying to talk about here. He says, be angry and sin not. An anger that has to do with the righteousness of God. And there are times we misplace it, or we may think, maybe in God's house, you may think, oh, you saw somebody that came to church and you were not very happy the way the person dressed. And instead of you to remember the fact that the first thing you need to show to that person is love, you need to show him that Jesus, first of all, has compassion on him or her. Before you begin to get angry and tell the person, you're not supposed to dress like this, you're not supposed to wear this, you're not supposed to do that. What impression are you going to give of the Lord Jesus Christ at that point in time? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, on the contrary, we'll now look at it now. We have looked at the type of anger that is sinful, but I want us to compare something Luke chapter 9, verse 54. Let's compare what we just looked at with what happened in this scenario in Luke chapter 9, verse 54. And that has to do with James and John. And remember, in Mark chapter 3, verse 17, Jesus called them a name. Praise the Lord. Who can remember that name he called them? Mark chapter 3, verse 17. Praise the Lord. He called them sons of thunder. Called James and John sons of thunder. And you see the reason why he called them that name? Boanerges. You see why he called them that name? Was what happened in Luke chapter 9, verse 54. And what happened? They were trying to cross and go through Samaria. And the Samaritans refused to let them go through. And guess what James and John said? Can we just call fire and consume these people? Let's just call fire, consume them. The same way that Elijah did it. And guess what Jesus did? He rebuked them. You do not know the kind of spirit that you have. If you look at it now, who were they fighting for? Were they just jealous for the Lord Jesus Christ? No. If you know for sure that the children of Israel, they hate the Samaritans. They don't have anything to do with them at all. Say, let's call fire. Let's consume them. Let's just burn them up. Then may they know. Say, we get power. Praise the Lord. That is carnal. You are not fighting for God like that. And that's why at times, you see, I know there are times we get angry when we pray some prayer. Fire will burn. You know, there are times, let's be careful, oh. Let's not fight some fights for God. He will know how to fight for himself. Say, fire consume them. No. Let's be careful. You know not what kind of spirit that you have. If you demonstrate that kind of anger. You see, when there's an anger without a cause, some people just get angry for no reason. No reason. They're just angry. You see, I work in retail. You see, you discover that people come to the store. They're angry for no reason. They're angry with you for everything. They are transferring that aggression on you. You see, when we are angry and our anger is directed against a person instead of the offense that the person happened. I used to tell my wife, I said, look, if we are arguing about anything, please let's leave it on the issue of what we're talking about. Leave it on the issue. Don't go to the south, to the west, to the east. Go everywhere. Oh, this. No. We're not making matters well. Let's talk about the issue now. What resulted into what we're talking about? That's what we're talking about. Don't say, oh, 2010, you did this. 2020, you did this. You did that. That's not what we're talking about. It's not going to bring resolution. It will resolve the matter. And when issues come like that and you make it all about you or about the person, it's an issue. If you look at it in every home, whatever brings quarrel is a matter. Not a person. It's a matter. So let's go after the matter. Let's discuss about it. Let's see how we can iron that matter out. Not that person. And many times you think, oh, she's always making me get angry. But check it. If they bring your anger out, you have it. The person did not put it in there. You have it already. It says a man is defiled not by what enters his mouth, but what comes out of him. Because it's there. She's always making me get angry. My brother, check where. Praise the Lord. This is there. It's there before she touched it and it came out. So now, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, how do we now deal with this anger? That's the question we need to. Okay, Daddy wants to say something. Okay, Daddy, you want to say something. So, we want to look at it. How do we deal with it?
Thank God.
I'm just going to quickly round up, sir.
Thank God for the word of God. It's in the Bible. You remember Samuel. Samuel case. When the Israelites said, you have to give us a king. Your children, they are useless. So every nation has king. The Bible recalls that he was displeased with what they had said. What did he do? He took the case just like you mentioned. Instead of castigating them and everything, despite the fact that he was displeased, he went back to God. But the Lord told him. He said, leave them alone. He said, it's not about you. It's about me. That's the area we have to consider where you, I can be so, I mean, those who have seen me when I'm angry, you know. Brother Mike will say, you know, when you see, when they say someone is angry, it's me. Because I will look, in fact, my eyeballs will change. You will see, they will come red now. But thank God that God is taking it away. Because once you cannot control your anger, it leads to destruction. You know? And even those people who are angry and keep it within themselves, that is what we call implosion. It becomes stress. You can get depressed and everything. But you see, in the case of Samuel, he went back to God. He walked away from it. You know, he did not argue with them. When he won the king, he went and reported to the person who first took him. I and say, well, you should be a judge. You know, I mean, you remember that the kids, the children of Samuel were the ones causing problems. But he went back to God. Eli didn't do the same thing. The same thing that the children of Samuel did was the children of Eli did. But Eli said, well, let him do whatever he wants to do. You know, that's another way of getting angry. So we have to be very careful. How do we control it? Take it back to God.
Amen.
Praise the name of the
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Mommy wants to say she has a question, first of all. Please just hold your contribution. And,
praise the Lord.
Please, I'll give us only 2 minutes now so that we can be able to...
But Mike, you spoke about praying some kind of prayer and praying in anger.
Right.
Then saying, command you to die.
Die by fire.
But what about if maybe somebody is sick or there's a situation that is like is so stubborn, doesn't want to yield to anything, and then something just rises from the inside of you, and you begin to say, today is the end of this thing. This thing has to go. I'm not taking it again. I'm saying no to this one, and then you pray.
I'm actually talking about, I'm not talking about, you know, the fact that when there is a genuine issue that has been there, and God has opened your heart, your eyes to see that there's an individual that's responsible for it. In that same circumstance, don't hold your fire, give it to them. But not randomly. There are sometimes they just randomly say, by fire. And somebody just does something, say, let him die by fire. What do you do now? Praise the Lord. So you see, that's why I say let's not misplace that kind of anger. Let's not misplace it. There are times when it's so serious. Don't spare it, oh. Don't spare it. Says like what Daddy said. Says, Kingdom of God, sorry, violence. Only the violent people will take it by force. Okay, Pastor.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Well, I to respond to what Mommy said, I think that is a different thing completely, man. If there's an issue and there is need to pray a violent prayer, you pray it. Knowing fully well that you are dealing with a matter,
mm-hmm.
not an individual.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing that we can't do anything about that. You know, it's a different thing if you have a problem with somebody and your prayer is that the person should die. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. You know, I mean, I remember when my older brother, who is a missionary, came home, and I was just asking Daddy I remember there's a script in the scripture that says a curse without a, it will not stand. I remember my father coming home and telling, my brother came home to tell my dad that, well, the Lord has called him onto missionary. Ah, and my father said that, no, the devil that is pursuing you, we will pursue the devil. And my brother said, sir, there's no devil pursuing anybody anywhere. It's a call into missionary. Okay, oh, go on your own, no. Go and do your... But I give God the glory. Because the same young man that you told that day that we will see how you will survive. Not only did he get married, not a single penny was paid by all of us to go to that wedding. He bought everybody's ticket. Took us to Chicago for that wedding. You know, so it shows that when you serve God faithfully, Almighty God will show up for you and make way even where there seems to be no way. What I just want to add, sir, is that we need to really ask God for the grace not to be angry. And in my course of life, there are some of our leaders that I've met, and what they've shared with me has sort of helped me. When we were doing, I believe, our Bible college, our daddy that used to come and teach us, Daddy Coker, I met him here very early one day, and we were talking about the issue of anger. And he said to me, Pastor Modupe, do you know the day I learned to let go of anger? I said, when? He said, when he was in Lagos. He said he had a problem with another senior pastor. And that he took that matter to Daddy Gio. He said, I had to make an appointment. Appointment that took me almost 3 months to see Daddy. He said, when I now finally saw Daddy, I sat with Daddy for 2 hours, 45 minutes. I narrated everything in anger. He said, do you know what happened, Pastor Modupe? Daddy just said, son, hold my hand. Father, whatever the issue is, have your way. Pastor Coca, it is well. Have a nice day. He said, I walked out of that place. I said, you know what? There is no sense. There was no sense in being angry. He said, Daddy never uttered a word. Neither did he say, I'm right. Neither did he say, I'm wrong. He said, he walked out and said, why are we angry? Why are we angry? And the other things that I also learned that gave me this area of, you know what, anger is that when Daddy's first son was a heavy drunkard, he will fall into the gutter. And Daddy will be preaching, and people will be saying, Baba, go and carry your son from the. He said, instead of me speaking with anger, guess who I face? I said, God, you called me, oh. It is you that they are disgracing, no? You better do something. But what did God do? Today, that boy is serving God faithfully. So I think we just have to come to a point and realize that, you know, anger is not going to take us anywhere. It's not going to solve the problem. It's not going to change things. We just need to ask God for the grace. Praise the Lord.
Rafi, 1 minute.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You asked, how do we control our anger?
Yes. Just how do we deal with it?
One of the things, basic things, is to ask God to help us to deal with the anger.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I would add to it is that we should not always claim our right.
Yes.
Or stand by what we think that is, of course, we are right, so we must defend ourselves. Or speak out to let people know that, okay, you know what, we know more about this issue. We still have insight to it. We want to prove ourselves. If we actually deny ourselves of things that we claim to be our right, it will help us also to control our anger. Most of the times that you want to let the person know that, of course, you know what you are doing. Of course, I know you are oppressing me. I know you're just doing it to harm. I know you are harming me. I want you to know that you are harming me. Or you are doing something like not fair to me. So, but if we hold back and be patient enough, we have that grace by the grace of God to be patient enough, it will help us to control our anger. We will not speak at that time. We will not react to that issue with, negative part of it. But I just pray that God will give us the grace not to always claim our right, even when we cease to be doing the right thing, but just let go and let the Spirit of God take control. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, what we've rightly said is just exactly what I'm just trying to talk about. But in verse, Ephesians verse chapter 4, 31 and 32, and also 29, if we look at it, there are some things Paul told us, you know, how we can be able to manage, you know, our anger. And one of the things he said, verse 31, he says, put away bitterness. He described it. He says, bitterness, wrath, clamor, evil speaking. Put those things away. See, there's going to be a deliberate effort, just like what Paul was Peter was talking about. There must be a deliberate effort. God will not help you come and do it. You have to decide this is what you want to do and you want to put it away. Because you see, if anger remains there, you didn't put it away, it starts graduating. When you sow a seed doesn't just develop into one seed. No. It grows into a tree. Anger, before you know what's happening, resentment comes in there. Bitterness, then unforgiveness. And your total spirit is now overwhelmed. That is where the Bible is talking about the fact that it says, do not give a foothold to the devil. When it gets to that point, devil has taken control of you completely. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. Amen. And 29 talks about the fact that he said, look, that we should never let, you know, cutting comments. See, at times we just want to say something to hurt somebody. It happens like that at times. You just want to say it to hurt the person. But we need to watch our words whenever we get angry. Don't say anything. Move away from that environment. You know, at times when I'm not happy with my wife, at times I just take the car and drive off a little bit to calm down. Praise the Lord. Because the moment you still stay in that environment, you will still be boiling inside your heart. But by the time you come back, everything has distilled down. And Paul was also saying, he said, don't let the sun come down on your anger. What is he trying to talk about? He says, there is a time period. You should not let that anger last. That's what he said. See, at times there are some people that will never tell you, I'm sorry, oh. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, finally in verse 32, where Paul was trying to talk about the fact that we should, in place of anger, we should forgive. Forgiveness is not an emotion, but anger is an emotion. Forgiveness is a thing that has to do with God. It says there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. It's God that gives us that forgiveness. And we should also be able to hand over that forgiveness to the people who have wronged us. If you do that, you have totally quenched that fire that was burning inside. See, and you know, like I always say, at times, you know, when I have a fight with my wife, I want to kind of assert myself. I won't tell her sorry. But she will never tell me sorry. But as a man of God, you don't want to go to bed with that thing. I will humble myself, eat my pride, and tell her, I'm sorry, for the good of the relationship. Nobody wins, so if at the end of the day, there's a strained relationship. Because that's what happens. That's what anger does. Anger can destroy families. Anger can destroy relationships. Anger can destroy destinies completely just because of that one single act. Praise the Lord. So, Sister Tega, you have a question. If I allow Daddy to say something, then we'll round up. Hallelujah.
Talking about husband, but the children.
That, because of time, I would have talked about that too, but... okay, no, the children, you know, one thing I said, there was something I posted that, you know, our children, I know at times they can get on our nerves, so to say. And at times you can talk to them in anger. But there's a quote, I think I can't remember the way he said it, but I'm going to say it something. You know, like a child will only remember the emotions you displayed in trying to rebuke them. They will remember the issues you are talking about to them about. No way. They will never remember that. But they saw in daddy's face that you were angry. My daughter said something to me one day, wow. And I was not very happy with her, and I was talking with her. She came and asked me, Daddy, why are you mad? That was a rebuke. Why are you mad? Yes, why are you angry? So you see, they don't hold themselves. They will say it to you, to your face. So there's a way you can talk to your children. I know you can tell them that you are really upset, but tamper down that emotion you use in telling them. They will remember their emotion, or they will remember what you told them, or they will see your face, the way you were angry, or if God forbid, you use that hand and give them a slap with it. So, but they will remember that. But the issue? No. You rebuke them, but in a better way to discipline them, but not abuse. You see, discipline them. You know, one of our kids was telling us a story the other day that he did something wrong and the mom did not give him a second chance and the mom gave him bow. So I told him, I said, look, I don't support that, but discipline, I paddle my kids with a paddle. So that's very important. Okay, Daddy. So. Pastor, give them the give them pardon. No, Pastor, I don't give them the pardon. I'll give my child pardon rather than that. No, Pastor, give them pardon. No, give them the pardon, Pastor. Daddy, talk about that issue too. Praise the Lord, Pastor. Amen. Daddy Chi.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. Bless the Lord for today. It's awesome. And,
Amen.
Why we struggle is that we tend to try to use apply physical solution to spiritual problems. And that is why we run the problem. And you discover that if you just scratch it, you know, it will that was waiting, and it is not a good spirit, that's the worst thing, and was waiting for the time the devil will just wake it up and manifest it. Okay? And manifest it so that it can achieve the purpose of the devil. And so when that happened, because he thought it's like, oh, he ran away, physical thing. He disappeared from Egypt, physical thing. He went and stayed in one distant wilderness. Nobody heard about him again. Oh, it was gone. Until you begin to know that this is the Spirit. And what the Spirit does is that it just looks at our flesh. And just see where the weak point is. And use that weak point to cause the anger. And that is why a lot of time when we are dealing with it, we cannot even deal with it individually. Because anger is tied to so many things. The greatest of them is pride. Pride. Me. I. It is pride that makes you to tell somebody, why will he do this? In any case, why wouldn't he do it? Who are you? It's pride that will make you to think that this children, what? Oh, no. No. I can't tell you. No, 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 no. He says it where you are not with your children. It is also pride sometimes. Okay? That will not make us to say, oh, I was like this one time. How was I handled? It is pride that will make us to look at others, okay, and say, why must he talk to me like this? The other thing is, when there is pride, there is always self-interest. Interest, our interest begin to conflict. So, and the Bible has told us that we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. That is why before, as I conclude, before the passage you read for us, let us hear what Paul was saying. Verse 22. He said that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceit blood, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then you put on the new man which is created in righteousness. You see, until we know that anything can wake up anger in us. Brethren, all this one we are discussing here, let me tell you, I don't know whether Mike was here. We discussed this issue one time in this place. Do you know at the parking lot here, it started. People were getting angry. Just when we finished, and we're here, as soon as we got to the parking lot, and I look at the person, and say, oh, no, it is well. It is well. We just finished discussing this thing, you know, that the guy, no, about, no. I say, the Lord will help us to know that there is a spirit that will always want to make us angry. And why does he want to make us angry? It will make us fall. Cut us off from our God. If we begin to look at that, we begin to now know that a lot of times, you know, thank God that we are now, Holy Spirit is now helping us. Oh, either you keep quiet or you, but it's not yet over. You know, you can be quiet, but at the end of the day, the thing is still there. It's not gone. God, the Lord will help us to do what we have to do. I know we're talking about the prayer. And I think I also wanted to just stress on this. Prayer. Yes. You are allowed to pray as any violent prayer as you want to pray. The important thing is this. The moment you know that you have said your prayer is divorce, whatever is causing the problem in the man is not the man. It's the spirit, the devil. So when we are praying those kind of violent die, it is not the man you are actually saying, or if you don't have it in your mind, it is the spirit behind him. When the Bible was saying, we do not allow the witch to live. The witch that is being talked about in the Bible is not the physical person. It's not the physical person. It's the spirit in that person that we need to destroy. So we can pray any kind of violence there. Finally, our children. Please. Brethren, I beg of you. The truth is this. I started with my own. Because my father told me, concerning your children, the way you lay your bed, you will lie on it. He said, anything plant into these children, you are going to reap it. He said, forget about thinking that it's the children who will reap it. He said, you will reap it. If we know this, we must forget about what this country is. Please, I beg of us. I've said this thing here several times, that there are societies in this country, there are some people in this nation, when you go to where they live, their children do not behave like any other children. In this same country, there are some tribes in this country. Go to the Jews. Just go to them. Go to their neighborhood or where they live. Watch their children. Even in the midst of all other children, you watch them. Asian. You see? So, let us not compromise. So, yes, our children will be better than us. The generation of, when we begin to see our, this generation is destroyed, we are the one destroying it. It's not our children. We are the one destroying it. If we are not bold enough to say, to tell a child that you are wrong and you deserve to be punished for this thing, that child will grow to think that she can do or he can do anything and get away with it. So if pastor is telling his children to do something, it's because you understand the children. You need to understand your child to know what you are going to give that child that make that child to say, if it's being good to play, stand on one leg, try it. And you will see the child, the moment he does something, you say, remember, he's going to tell you, say, Dad, Mom, I'm not going to go to this area again. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Let's just pray. Thank God for tonight. You see, brethren, it's important that we need to face up with what we are talking about today. We need to ask God for help. On our own, we can do nothing. Let's ask God to help us. Whatever extent it is that we have to deal with this emotion, let God help us in our relationship, particularly our marriage. That God will help us when issues like this come, we will know how to resolve them amicably. We'll know that when conflict come, that's not the bus stop. It is just a path we have to go through. Issues with our children. Let's pray God for help. Let God help us. God, help me. Help me. Let not this emotion put a stop to my growth, my walk with you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.